Findings published in the November 18th edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal suggest that approximately 30% of Canadians diagnosed with asthma may not have the disease. The question is how the diagnosis was determined in the first place and what can be done to improve diagnostic accuracy. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Sean Aron, Senior Scientist, Clinical Epidemiology, Ottawa Health Research Institute, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Ottawa, and Staff Physician in the Division of Respiratory Medicine at the Ottawa Hospital. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Barry.
I wanted to first ask, how prevalent is asthma in Canada?
Well, asthma is quite a prevalent condition in Canada. In children, it's estimated that over 10% of children are diagnosed with asthma at any point in their life. In adults, the prevalence of asthma across the board is about 5 to 6%. That is, 5 to 6% of Canadian adults have been diagnosed with asthma. However, in obese adults, the prevalence is double, about 10 to 11%.
What do we know about the pathophysiology of the disease?
Well, asthma is a disease that is characterized by inflammation in the airways. The airways are the tubes that carry air to and from your lungs. And when these airways get inflamed, we see changes. There is edema and swelling in the airways. There is excess mucus production. And all these things can actually block and narrow the airway. The other thing that happens with asthma as the inflammation gets more severe is that the muscle around the airway becomes hyperreactive and irritable, and this will trigger spasm of the airways and even more airway narrowing.
So given what we understand about the pathophysiology of the disease, using that knowledge, how do we use that to then diagnose? And with regards to diagnosis, how sensitive and specific are the tests that are used to determine whether someone indeed has asthma?
Well, that's a very good question. The bottom line is that the diagnosis of asthma depends on clinical symptoms and objective evidence of airflow obstruction. That is, that the tubes are narrowed, and therefore, when the patient breathes out into a tube, the flow of air out of their lungs is less than expected. Now, the definitions in the Canadian Asthma Guidelines and in the GINA Asthma Guidelines, which are the world guidelines for asthma, suggest that patients must have symptoms, that is, cough, shortness of breath, wheeze. In addition, they must also have objective evidence of reversible airflow obstruction or irritability of the airways. So you need both conditions, symptoms and objective physiologic evidence, in order to diagnose the disease.
So then, given that we have specific tests and clinical symptoms that we look for, what was the impetus for the study? What was it that, where you were asking the question, how accurate are we when we make a diagnosis of asthma?
Well, the impetus for the study actually came from our knowledge of the prevalence of asthma in obese patients. Patients who are obese are those who have a body mass index of greater than 30, and roughly about 18% of the Canadian adult population is now obese. We know that from large population studies and survey studies that asthma in adults affects about 5 to 6% of us. But in obese adults, the numbers go up to 10 or to 11%. So we knew that asthma was quite twice as common in obese patients as in non-obese. Now, the issue that we thought was happening was that obese patients were much more likely to be misdiagnosed with asthma. Obesity, as most of you are aware, also places a stress on the respiratory system and the cardiovascular system. So patients who are obese, when they walk or move or do exercise, they tend to be more short of breath than non-obese people. We therefore hypothesized that since obese patients are more likely to be short of breath, they're more likely to come to their physician complaining of these symptoms, and therefore we thought they might be more likely to be misdiagnosed with asthma. So the impetus for doing this study was to try to explain why asthma is twice as more common in obese patients. We thought it's twice more common because they're twice as likely to be misdiagnosed.
So then what was the study design?
Well, what we did is we had to collect a random sample of Canadians who had been diagnosed with asthma by their physicians. So we put out random digit dial phone calls, and those are the sort of things that everyone gets every evening when you're just about to sit down for supper. You know, the phone rings and it's some telemarketer bothering you. Well, we did the same thing, only we weren't trying to sell anything. We were trying to get people in our study. And basically, we called people and we asked them, the person who answered the phone was asked, is there someone in your household who's 16 years or older who's been diagnosed with asthma by a physician? If that person answered yes, we spoke to the actual person identified as asthma and tried to convince them to come into the study. If they agreed to come into the study, we brought them into one of our eight study laboratories, which were located in hospitals across Canada, and we actually assessed them both clinically and physiologically to determine if they truly had asthma.
And what were the results?
Well, the results were actually surprising. When we brought in 540 individuals in total with asthma, and roughly half of them were obese and half of them were non-obese. Before we started the study, we had anticipated that about 10% of the non-obese group would have been overdiagnosed with asthma. That is, that even though they identified themselves as having asthma, we thought we wouldn't be able to find it when we when we tested them. Well, when we put these patients through this rigorous testing procedure, which continued over over 6 to 8 weeks, we actually found that that in the non-obese group, three times more patients had been overdiagnosed than we thought likely before we started the study. So that in the non-obese group, 29% of the individuals we put into the study said they had asthma. They'd been told by their doctors they had asthma. They were prescribed medicines for asthma. But when we evaluated them over a two-month period, we couldn't find any evidence of asthma. In the obese group, the numbers were similar, slightly higher, but not significantly higher. 32% had been overdiagnosed with asthma.
Now, were there any confounding factors or limitations in this study with regards to the methodology, phoning people up? Were people more, if they had asthma or if they suspected they may have had an incorrect diagnosis, were they more prone to want to participate?
Well, that's a possibility, and that's something you can never get around.
Right.
You know, it's sort of volunteer bias. Anytime you try to get patients into a study, there's always the possibility that a subgroup will select themselves to volunteer for a study. Now, we try to do this as objectively as possible by getting random sampling of Canadians, by phoning random phone numbers. Mm-hmm. But there's always the possibility, and there's no way I can exclude this, that patients who doubted their diagnosis or whose medications were not working for them might have been more likely to doubt the diagnosis and therefore more likely to enter into the study. You know, having said that, when we introduced the study over the phone, we didn't say we're doing this study to try to rule out asthma. Mm-hmm. We said to the patients, we're trying to do this study to get a better sense of asthma in the Canadian population. So, but it is certainly possible that patients who doubted their diagnosis may have been more likely to enroll. And if that's the case, then our numbers of our 30% overdiagnosis rate might be slightly inflated compared to the general population.
But nevertheless, it still stands out as being something to pay attention to.
Well, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, asthma is a chronic condition. Assigning a diagnosis of a chronic respiratory condition to a patient is serious. I mean, the patient gets labeled with a disease, and they take medicines for many years, which may have adverse effects and obviously cost a lot of money. And if the patient's been assigned this chronic diagnosis and doesn't truly have the disease in question, then there are serious, you know, individual implications for the patient and societal implications for us all.
Now, is there anything that our listeners and patients who have been diagnosed with asthma do to ensure that it is indeed a correct diagnosis? In terms of like a checklist, things should they have had done to really be sure that indeed they have asthma?
Well, I think in order to, you know, I do not think a physician should be diagnosing the disease without getting objective tests. You know, if I were a physician and a patient came into me, to my office, and I suspected hypertension or high blood pressure, I would not start treating their blood pressure without checking their blood pressure in my office. If a patient has suspected pneumonia, I would order a chest x-ray to confirm the diagnosis. Similarly, if I'm worried about a patient potentially having risk factors for high cholesterol, I would check their cholesterol level with a blood test before I started treatment. But in asthma, for some reason, this isn't happening. Patients are coming to their physicians and complaining of shortness of breath or cough or wheeze, and are getting a diagnosis of asthma assigned, and in many cases are being put on therapy without any confirmatory tests. So if you're a patient and you've been diagnosed with asthma by your medical doctor, I would suggest that you should have had at least a spirometry test, a test where you breathe out into a tube and airflow is measured. Some patients may have also even had something called a methacholine challenge test, which is a test where we actually have patients breathe in a mist of a medicine which will provoke spasm of the airways in patients with asthma. But if you haven't had at least a spirometry and you've been diagnosed with the disease without having that test, then I think you should go back to your medical doctor and insist on that test being performed, or at least, if not insist, at least ask nicely for the test, because it's something that should be the bare minimum standard of practice.
Dr. Sean Aaron is Senior Scientist, Clinical Epidemiology, Ottawa Health Research Institute, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Ottawa, and Staff Physician, Division of Respiratory Medicine at the Ottawa Hospital. And Dr. Aaron, I'd like to thank you very much for providing some really good insight into asthma and also the questions that people should ask when given a diagnosis. Obviously, things should be done appropriately. Tests should be there to back up with evidence that there indeed is a problem, especially, as you mentioned, given that this is a chronic disease and requires long-term treatment.
Yeah, I guess the last important point would be that if you've been diagnosed with asthma, I'm not suggesting, and I certainly don't want you to stop your medicines on your own. Remember, in our study, 70% of the patients we study truly did have asthma and were on medicines to control it. Stopping asthma medicine on your own could be potentially dangerous because asthma still kills people. So if you're doubting your diagnosis, don't stop your medicines, but go see your physician and ask for a spirometry test.
Dr. Aaron, once again, thank you very much.
Great, my pleasure.